Hello. I'm so glad that you could be here today. Watching what's going on in the United States right now breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that George Floyd died the way that he did. It breaks my heart to know that other people are dying protesting his death. It breaks my heart that looters and mischief makers are drawing attention away from very real concerns. And it breaks my heart knowing that this is not an isolated incident. There is an uncomfortable undercurrent of racial inequality in America. There's an uncomfortable undercurrent of racism in Canada. And you know what? That can even appear in the church. And that's why I feel today compelled to say something that I think that we all know and know well, but it bears repeating. In fact, it's something that really should be writ large over all that we do. There is no room for racism in the kingdom of God. Did you get that? There is no room for racism in the kingdom of God. Anybody who thinks that God's kingdom is only for white people is sorely mistaken. I mean, look at Revelation 7, 9. This is a picture of the kingdom of God in eternity. Revelation 7, 9 says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation and tribe and people and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and they were holding palm branches in their waves, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's the kingdom of God. Every tribe and tongue and nation, people who are black and white and Asian and African and Indian and Aboriginal, these people all gathered together honoring the Lamb who died to redeem each of them. There's no master race. There is only the Master, and we are all precious in his sight. There's no room for racism in the kingdom. And since we, as believers, belong to that kingdom, we ought to live out the values of that kingdom, the multicultural, multi-ethnic values of God's kingdom in our world now. We ought to honor the people of different cultures and nations the same way that we will, in eternity, live shoulder to shoulder with them. You know, Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, God broke down every wall that stood between Jews and Gentiles in order that he might create for himself one people. And God continues to do that reconciling racial redemption among all people. You know, in God's eyes, there's no superior race. There are only fallen people who need redemption, and he offers it to all. We really ought to extend the unconditional love and acceptance of God to everyone. How do we do that? Well, I think that we look to the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember that that story is all about who is my neighbor, and it's set within the context of race relations, right? It's this scandalous story of a hated Samaritan helping a Jewish man. I mean, imagine an African-American person helping a white supremacist who's been beat up on the road. You get a sense of the shock of the parable, because in the parable, the African-American helps the beaten white supremacist. And the point of it is, your neighbor is the person who needs help. Regardless of race, your neighbor is anyone who needs your help. Skin color does not trump being a neighbor. Love unconditionally the way that God loves you. No room for racism in the kingdom of God. to close, I want to quote somebody who I went to school with, who married a roommate of mine who is of Haitian descent. She writes, "You know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But who is my neighbor? Well, the one who doesn't look or talk or speak like me, the Samaritan, the despised, the rejected, the ridiculed, the oppressed. But what's love? Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Put aside your pride and listen. Put aside your ignorance and learn. Let's think on these verses as we consider racism in our churches, our communities, our countries. Let's think on these verses as we decide how to respond," she says. Let's examine the way that we think about, the way that we talk about people of different races. Let's consider the subconscious ways that we act towards them. And let's respond with this conviction. There's no room for racism in the kingdom of God. There is no room for racism in my heart. Let's pray. God, we acknowledge that these are sensitive circumstances. And as a white person, I admit that I can't fully grasp the depth of feeling that African American brothers and sisters are feeling right now, the pain, the uncertainty. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to look on each other the way that you look at us, with unconditional love. Lord, people of every spectrum of skin color are made in your image and are loved because you love them. You value them. They are precious in your sight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to extend that same love to others. As people who have white skin, we pray that we could use whatever privilege we have for the benefit of others. Lord, in the past, racism has been a thinly veiled disguise for protecting my own interests. Lord, let us, considering others better than ourselves, put our interests down so that we can look to the interests of others. Lord, I pray for peace in the United States. I pray for justice. Lord, we pray for reconciliation and your just unity to prevail. Thank you for your unfailing love for us, Lord. And I pray, even as we stumble sometimes, that you would help us to be channels that pass your unfailing love on to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for being here today, folks. Take care, stay safe, trust in God, and remember, prayer and precaution, not panic, will get us through.